figure it out. And so just figure it out. We want to see football. Come on now. Settle down.
Yep.
Welcome to this episode of the Undrafted Free Agents Podcast, a show where two guys who never made it playing football talk about football. Here are your hosts, Austin Gregory and Nick Cougas.
And welcome back to episode freaking 10 of the UDFA podcast. We've reached double digits of episodes now. Pretty cool. Very excited for this episode. Just a lot going on in terms of the world of sports right now. Nick, we got NFL training camps starting today. We have a lot of drama going on in the NFL. We have the MLB trade deadline approaching on Friday. We have NHL free agency starting today. We are in the middle of the freaking Olympics. A lot going on there in terms of drama as well. The news with Simone Biles withdrawing from competitions because of quote-unquote mental issues that she's having, just dealing with. Just a crazy world, what's going on with sports, and I'm all for it right now.
Yeah, I know. Summer of sports right now, the Olympics. You know, we had the Euros, Copa America, Gold Cups going on right now. And most importantly, football's back. So training camp started yesterday, I believe, and today as well, which is really exciting. We've been waiting all summer for this, you know, all year, you know, since the Super Bowl. But it's finally back, which means, you know, NFL news is coming in more consistently now. There's more storylines, more journalism to be shared with the world. And we're going to do our best and have fun with it, because this is a really exciting time for a football fan, especially for us with the podcast. So we're looking forward to today's episode and just seeing what the next couple of weeks look like for the podcast.
Yeah, and with that being said, we got, you know, obviously stuff to talk about with teams, you know, reporting for camp. Finally, a lot of stuff already going on. Teams already underway. I've seen videos of, you know, different guys working out. We've seen, you know, the news. Aaron Rodgers has returned to Green Bay finally.
Yeah.
He will be playing in Green Bay this year, it seems. He did restructure his contract, which we'll get into a little bit later. Deshaun Watson reported to camp in Houston, which is obviously big as well. Still unsure if he'll actually be playing in Houston this upcoming season. We've had all the reports with the new COVID requirements that the NFL has enforced, with players having to get the vaccine. Otherwise, penalties, including fines and forfeits, will be put in place, which has caused quite the uproar from quite a few players, and just a lot going on in terms of NFL, seeing, you know, guys running around, seeing, you know, guys jogging out to the field. Pretty scary scene. I saw a video today from a Cowboys training camp.
Yeah.
I don't know if, you know, people know, but if you go to the average Little League baseball field, you'll see they have these fences around for, you know, the home run. The mark where, you know, you hit it over the fence, it's a home run. It's this normal chain link fence with this thick yellow plastic on the top of it, and Michael Gallup was going to catch a football in the end of the end zone, and he just carried his momentum over the fence, did a full flip, and landed right on like his legs with like,
I saw that,
on his knees with his legs bent underneath him, which could have been really bad.
It looks like they're like practicing some, like, someone's backyard over there in Oxnard. That was a weird like kind of location for that training camp.
It's for being the, to my knowledge, the most valuable NFL franchise in terms of money. The fact that they're still practicing where they do for training camp in Oxnard is
it's
just
like
ridiculous. It's literally a grass field that's fenced in right next to a freaking hotel in the middle of Oxnard.
Yeah, it's like if you live in Oxnard right now, you're in a hotel or a little condo, you wake up in the morning, you turn your head over, look out the window, you see the Dallas Cowboys practicing down there, which is kind of weird, but it's something they've been doing for a while. They've been going to Oxnard for a while, but it's a little weird to see the most valuable franchise like in the middle of someone's neighborhood, it looks like, practicing.
But yeah, it's just good to see things underway. Still, you know, some stuff going on in terms of guys being added and removed from the COVID list. I know in the terms of the Giants, Kadarius Toney, rookie, finally came off the COVID list, but then Blake Martinez, star linebacker, went on the COVID list. So obviously it doesn't help. And report came out that there's only one first-round rookie who hasn't signed their contract yet, which is very surprisingly of whom it is, and that is Zach Wilson, the second overall pick of the New York Jets, which I thought was very surprising, especially because he's the freaking number two overall pick. If I had any guesses as to why he hasn't signed his contract, I'm going to guess that he wants more money than they're offering him. even though I'm pretty sure that the money he is supposed to get is like set in stone just because of where he's drafted second overall. So it's very surprising to me that he hasn't signed his rookie deal yet.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what the Jets are trying to do with him. I mean, this is the guy that you drafted two overall. This is like your franchise. So I don't know why they're trying to nickel and dime him or trying to work something out, you know, to get him at the, for as cheap as possible. I don't know what's going on there, but I think this is not a guy you should be, you know, nickeling and diming because, you know, he's going to be missing, if he's holding out, he's going to be missing, you know, valuable days of practice in training camp, which is not what you need when you're the New York Jets. This is probably the biggest problem you have is you need a quarterback, and you finally get one, and now you're keeping him off the field with all this contract stuff. So we need to figure this out soon, Jets. Hopefully Zach Wilson doesn't miss too much time because, you know, Jets have a lot of work to do this offseason.
Yeah, and that is definitely for sure obviously not ideal for first-year head coach, first-time head coach Robert Saleh, which, you know, really don't know what's going to happen up to this point. I'm not even sure who the backup quarterback is for them right now, so it's going to be interesting to see how things kind of unfold. But continuing along with the theme that we mentioned of, you know, guys finally showing up for camp, Aaron Rodgers really showed up to camp with an exclamation point.
Yeah.
He really came in, no holds bar, really just throwing punches, no care, just at it. I really enjoyed watching him at first just show up for training camp with his long hair, slick black, and the flip-flops. It was quite the look for Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, he did not hold back. You know, first order of business for him was getting his buddy Randall Cobb back on the Packers, which has been done. That trade has been complete, bringing over Randall Cobb from the Houston Texans. I'm not sure exactly what the trade was, but that was his first order of business. And then his second order of business was just letting everybody have it in his press conference today. A lot of quotes, one being that he was not involved at all in the decision of hiring Matt LaFleur. He says he has nothing but love for Matt LaFleur, but, you know, pretty crazy when you have a Hall of Fame, generational talent, MVP, Super Bowl champion quarterback, and he's not involved in the decision of who you're hiring as his new head coach after, obviously, he played under Mike McCarthy for so many years. And then two, not involved in the decision of Jordan Love. He said he much rather would have loved to have been involved with the decision of being able to handpick who was going to be his successor in Green Bay. Also not happy with the 0% first-round draft picks of offensive weapons for him and his time in Green Bay. Since, to my knowledge, I don't think they've actually drafted anybody in the first round in quite some time in terms of offensive players.
Yeah.
Obviously, they finally got a wide receiver.
It was Jordan Love last year when he was a
quarterback.
Jordan
Love was the quarterback, but that doesn't help him.
Yeah.
And obviously, just a lot of things that he's clear and happy about, and it all resulted in a restructuring of his contract that allows him to leave Green Bay after this year. And I know there was one quote in particular that you thought was pretty funny that Rodgers dropped today.
Yeah, so I just, as we were walking into the studio today, I just was kind of like looking on Twitter and stuff, and he was doing his pressers, and I saw a video of him saying, like, you know, Green Bay is obviously not a vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me. He just, like, flat out just said that. I mean, we're all thinking it, too. It's not like it's unheard of. Like, that's what we're all thinking. He just said it out loud, which is kind of funny. But, yeah, he's really just doesn't care right now. He's back for business for one year at least. It's probably going to be this one year. And he wants to win the Super Bowl, I'm assuming. But, yeah, it was a weird offseason for Aaron Rodgers. You know, he skipped the entire offseason program, which is something he's never done in his entire career, which he then forfeited $500,000 in doing so. And he missed the mandatory mini camps in June as well. But they finally got something done a couple of days ago, the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, which kind of changed the language of his contract and got him to come back for at least one more year. His original contract was going to be over in 2023. This one brings him back for at least another year, and they can kind of work to see what they can do after this year. Well, we're all assuming he's gonna leave, though. But yeah, the Packers were offering concessions as well, and one of these concessions was trading for Randall Cobb, which got done, which is a reason that this Rodgers kind of deal change got done. So Cobb was obviously a big factor in this agreement and this settlement. And, you know, this is also going to kind of open the contract talks back up, open for Davante Adams, I would assume. As we know, those were kind of halted a few days ago as there was, like, uncertainty in the air whether Rodgers was going to come to camp or not. So that's going to be, you know, those are going to open up again. But yeah, really weird offseason for Aaron Rodgers, but this is going to be a big year for him and the Packers. I know the NFC North fans are really just punching the air right now because they thought this was going to be kind of an open year for them, especially the Bears fans. But yeah, this is going to be, looks like it's going to be another year of the Packers taking the NFC North, and probably getting a top three seed in the NFC this year, I would assume. So,
yeah. So, I mean, why not just finish things out and bring Jordy Nelson out of retirement to, you know, kind of bring the whole band back together at this point.
Yeah.
And obviously it's going to kind of change everything at this point. Obviously this is taking away, my prediction of, you know, the Packers being the biggest fall in the NFC at this point. It's also, I saw that with Devontae Adams in terms of these contract extension talks, he also came out and said he's not going to take any sort of discount, so he's probably definitely looking for that contract to become the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, which I think he fully deserves.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously if that doesn't get figured out, he obviously has very high intentions of going over to Vegas and playing with his former college quarterback and Derek Carr, as he's mentioned previously. But obviously, you know, it's like the meme has finally said that we've seen now from both Devontae and Aaron Rodgers' Instagram stories, the photo of Scotty and Michael on the Last Dance photo. This is seemed to be the last dance for Rodgers and Devontae Adams.
True, yeah.
So
very cryptic there, yeah.
We'll see how it all pays out and kind of unfolds at this point. But very much to your point, the NFC North is not up for grabs anymore at this point. And
the NFC answers, this kind of answers a lot of the uncertainty. You know, we did our rankings, I think maybe a couple of times on the podcast, and really couldn't place the Packers appropriately because of this. We didn't really know what was going on. But now that Rodgers is, you know, solidified in for that QB1 spot in Green Bay again, I think you can comfortably say and agree with me that the top three teams this year in the NFC, there's a 95% chance the top three teams in any order are going to be Tampa Bay, the Rams, and the Packers. I don't really see a fourth team that can kind of sneak into those three. But I think those are the three teams that are going to be the top heavy teams in the NFC this year and likely finish 1, 2, 3 in whatever order. But yeah, that answers a lot of questions that we had regarding where to put the Packers this season.
Yeah, and it obviously is going to make things a lot easier in terms of kind of seeing how things play out. Obviously, this is a big breath of fresh air for fantasy owners as well, in terms of Devontae Adams fantasy value, Aaron Jones fantasy value, as well as obviously whether or not they can take Aaron Rodgers in fantasy. But with that being said, we are going to play a little bit of our own fantasy like game today.
Yeah, in the spirit of the Olympics.
Rather than our traditional, what we've been going with lately of our, you know, what we did last week of what's in the box, picking our teams and going head to head. We're going to be doing a little bit different. Nick mentioned to me last night. He said, you know, we've seen those things about, oh, what if football was an Olympic sport? What Team USA look like? And I was like, he's like, we should do something like that. I was like, well, for one, if football was a sport in the Olympics, it would be stupid because the U.S. would just absolutely dominate everybody.
Yeah.
But then he's like, what if we did something like, what if they did like a 7-on-7 thing in the Olympics? I was like, oh, that'd be pretty cool. And I was like, oh, what if we did it like normal 7-on-7 where everybody has to play every snap, where they have to play both sides of the football. And then we can also, you know, draft their own teams here. So that's kind of what we came to. We're not going to do traditional 7-on-7. I looked into the rules on traditional 7-7 flag football, where you have to set it up where if you're rushing the quarterback, you have to be 7 yards from the line of scrimmage to be able to rush the quarterback. We are obviously going to follow the rules of that. The center can only hike the football and block. He cannot serve as a eligible receiver, just like kind of how normal football is.
Yeah.
We are going to kind of mock the rule that the tight end will stay on the line, and obviously is an eligible receiver, but they'll also help with the blocking. So what we came up with for the 14 technically positions for each side of the football, we're going to have a quarterback who will also serve as the safety on defense. Something, you know, you sometimes see in like high school level football.
Yeah.
Running back will serve as a linebacker.
It's just pretty common dual position. Yeah. I think a lot of running backs in high school just kind of play linebacker too, yeah. I feel like.
Offensive line, Hartman will serve as our defensive tackle. Again, easy transition. Our tight end will serve as our defensive end. I know many of people who played tight end and defensive end in high school. And then we'll have three wide receivers who will all serve as defensive backs as well.
Which is the most exciting, I think. These guys just have ball skills. That's why you play these positions.
That's a common thing in high school. My dad did that in high school. My dad played wide receiver and cornerback when he played football in high school. So it's a common thing. But with that being said, how do we want to decide who picks first here? And are we going to go just snake draft?
I guess so. I mean, there's not a ton of guys if it's seven on seven, but
we're only picking seven bodies here each.
I mean, you can go quarterback first. I'll be nice. We'll see what you got.
I don't know if I'm gonna pick a quarterback first.
Oh, okay,
with my first pick.
Okay, so it doesn't matter what position. Okay, then still, I think you can go first.
All right. So with my first pick, I'm going to go DK Metcalf.
Ooh, okay. This is the guy I was looking at. I was targeting DK for a wide receiver DB.
I saw, you know, obviously we saw his infamous chase down of Buda Baker last season, and I was like, can't not have a man with that build. I can trust him to kind of lock down a receiver if I need. Obviously, you know, if you're gonna have draft a cornerback over a wide receiver, I can have him guard the cornerback. But it was hard for me not to take DK here, who's kind of one of the first guys that popped into my mind.
Okay, yeah, I like that. So now I need to...
Now you get two picks here.
Okay. I get two. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'm going to follow suit with the wide receiver and DB position, and I'm going to select Jalen Ramsey to play cornerback and receiver, or DB and receiver for that matter. This is a guy, you know, I think that if he really wanted to, and he played in high school and college, he could have been an NFL receiver, I would assume. This is a guy that has great ball skills, just a real instinct, to cover a receiver. And when you cover a receiver that much and you're so good at it, I would assume you know kind of what to expect to play. So if he was on the other side, he kind of would know the routes and stuff and how to move as he covers them as a job. So and he's the best to do it. So I'm going to go Jalen Ramsey as my first pick for wide receiver DB. My second pick for, let's see, I'm going to go running back, linebacker, and I'm going to go Derrick Henry. Obviously, this is the guy we think is the best running back in the league. He's a humongous dude. He's a tank. And if you didn't know he played running back, you would have looked at him and thought he played middle linebacker. So I bet he could do it too. I don't know his exact football history in high school and before that. I'm sure his coaches have lined him up at linebacker before, but I think he can do a really good job at middle linebacker on a 7-on-7 environment. So I'm gonna go Derrick Henry for my running back and linebacker spot.
Yeah, it's obviously definitely a fair pick. Definitely a guy who could probably play both sides of the football very easily. But with that being said, I get two picks here.
Okay.
And my first pick is gonna be my O-line defensive tackle.
Okay.
It's going to be Aaron Donald.
Yeah, another guy on my list.
Obviously, most dominant defensive player in the league right now, three-time defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Can obviously, you know, rush through O-linemen, three of them very easily, so I don't see why he couldn't block another defensive tackle or even a traditional O-lineman.
Yeah.
So hard for me not to take him. I almost took him with my first overall pick.
I know. I was putting that off. I thought maybe you would have forgot, but there's no way you forget. But yeah. All right, who you got next?
Let's see. Where am I going to go from here? I'm going to go with another wide receiver cornerback situation here.
Okay.
And I'm going to go about a guy who we're going to be talking about in a quick second.
Okay.
Who's been in the news lately.
Okay.
I know who has good hands.
I think I know. Yeah,
I'm
going
to go Xavier Howard.
Yeah, we have like all the same like kind of big boards here. These are all the guys I was looking at too, which is good. I mean, we know our stuff. But yeah, definitely. Yeah, I would have loved to have him. He's got ball skills, man.
Yeah, we know he can catch the ball. So
yeah,
I know I can throw him a wide receiver, and obviously we know he can lock people down. So it was definitely hard for me not to take him here.
Yeah. Okay. So I get two picks, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna go for my tight end, defensive end. I think this is actually not sneaky good, but I think this guy can be a dominant tight end too, who plays defensive end, and he's from Cleveland. Myles Garrett, I'm going defensive end, tight end. I think he's 6'5 or 6'6 and is an absolute freak of nature. Looks like a mutant out there when he's playing defensive end. And I think if he would line up at tight end, you throw the ball up to him, and I think he can get up and get it pretty easily. I think this is a very, very intriguing two-way player. I think he is another guy as well that can easily play two ways. I don't think he maybe he's down in high school and maybe Texas A&M. You know, he was a Heisman candidate for a while there at Texas A&M, which means pure athlete. And I'm sure he can do it both ways. But yeah, this is I'm excited about this pick for my squad. And my next pick is actually going to be QB safety. And normally, you know, if they didn't play two positions, you know, you'd think of guys like, you know, even Mahomes. Like, you might still take Mahomes, but I think that there's a guy that has, you know, better DB instincts, and that's Lamar Jackson. I think he's the fastest QB in the league, obviously. And I think he's an above average quarterback, which is all that I need to hear if he's playing two ways. And I think if he runs a 4.3 as a quarterback, he can definitely play safety for me. And I think he can do a pretty decent job. As a safety, you just got to be fast and just know and just have good play recognition. So I think that Lamar Jackson is the best kind of quarterback that can also play safety that's available to me. So I'm going to go him for my quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean, I like the Myles Garrett pick. You know, he is a pure athlete. I've actually seen a video of Myles Garrett dunking, so we know he can get up.
Yeah, he's nuts.
For the Lamar Jackson pick, he's definitely a guy I was considering. My only thing is he's not the most chiseled kind of guy, so, you know, I do have the faith that, you know, somebody who's, you know, if one of my guys get, if, you know, I, if per se DK Metcalf gets open, I see it hard for Lamar Jackson to be able to tackle DK Metcalf.
He's coming for his head. He's going to be headhunting. I believe in him.
So that's why, you know, I kind of threw away the idea of taking Lamar, but obviously he's quite the athlete, and, you know, you kind of just need the safety to kind of roam out there. You need your corners to lock up anyways. So, you know, it's obviously going to be up to kind of Lamar to kind of linger if he needs to, but
all right, Mr. Big Bad Safety. I wonder who you're gonna get. You're gonna pick a quarterback that can be a Cam Chancellor out there.
I'm kind of in an interesting spot here for me because I can wait on cornerback, running back, and tight end, defensive end, because you've already locked up all three of those positions. So I mean, I could go another wide receiver, DB here, and kind of solidify my trio there. Which I will do for one of my picks. Okay. But I'm first going to go with my tight end, defensive end. And I'm going to go for a guy who has played both sides of the football in the NFL, has scored touchdowns on both sides of the football in the NFL, and that is J.J. Watt.
Okay. Okay.
We've seen J.J. Watt, obviously.
A little old, though. And the Olympics are in 4 years.
He is a little old, but, you know, he's a guy who we've seen score a multitude of touchdowns on the offensive side of the football in Houston. He loves to play offense. He always talked with O'Brien about getting in for those offensive opportunities. And, you know, why not throw J.J. Watt here? I think there's a guy on the Olympic men's national team for water polo this year who's like 34 or like up to the 40s. And I think the oldest Olympian right now actually this year is a 46-year-old from Kazakhstan or Uzbekistan, who's in the gymnastics. She's a woman. She's in her 9th Olympics already or something like ridiculous like that, or like her 8th Olympics or something ridiculous. I don't know exactly the exact number of years, but you got to have somewhat of a veteran presence, I guess, but hard for me not to go there. But I am going to solidify my wide receiver DB trio here. And, you know, there's obviously quite a few guys you can go here. But for me, this next guy I'm going to go with, has been in the news quite a bit lately. You know, my hopes is that, you know, we're not going based off of his desire to not want to play right now because of certain restrictions being put in place. Which is why I'm going to go with DeAndre Hopkins, best hands in football. We know he can get up there. I can trust him to cover somebody if I need to. He's obviously got the speed. He's got the height. He's got the ability to obviously go up and get a ball. We saw, you know, this past season, the Hail Mary pass from Kyler Murray, where he went up and caught a ball in between three DBs. So I'm going to go with D-Hop and lock up my wide receiver trio of D-Hop, DK Metcalf, and Xavien Howard.
Okay. I like that. You know, your team's looking nice, but so I have two more picks, and then you have a pick, then I have a pick to finish it. Or
you have two picks right now, then I have two picks, and then you have the last pick.
Okay. All right. So let's see. I got two wide receiver DBs to go. I think that I'm gonna take both of them here. And I'm gonna go Stephon Diggs as my wide receiver DB. One of the best, if not the best, route runners in the league. So he's got the quick change of direction and he got the full route tree. So he'll understand as a DB, you know, where guys are going, I would assume. And this is a guy that's fast, you know, good route running, good hands. He's really the total package at receiver. And, you know, kind of balances out with my already DB I have in Jalen Ramsey, who's more of my, you know, true DB. So I got more of a wide receiver heavy, wide receiver / DB there. So that kind of balances out there. And then I'm going to go again with wide receiver DB. And let's see, I can either just break the tie and go another kind of DB or another wide receiver. And I think, let's see, I'm going to go with, I'm gonna go with a wide receiver, and I'll go Devontae Adams, another guy very similar to Stephon Diggs, insane elite route runner, you know, great hands. I think my theme behind picking receivers in this is if you're a good route runner, I think you have that ability to play DB and recognize routes and change direction quickly, which is one of the most important characteristics for a DB. So I'm gonna go with Diggs and Devontae Adams, as well as Jalen Ramsey, round out my three wide receiver DBs. These are all very athletic guys, so I'm sure they can work well together, and that'd be pretty exciting to watch.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, it's obviously nice that we can just pick the four of the top 10 wide receivers in the NFL right now. You know, obviously it would have been, you know, hard to pass on, you know, Devontae Adams and D-Hop here just because of their pure talent at wide receiver. So obviously, you know, safe picks by us there to kind of finish out our trios. And obviously both of us went with the two wide receiver, one cornerback kind of lineup there. But with me finishing out my team, quarterback, safety.
Okay, I'm excited
and
for this.
Running back, linebacker.
You got to have a bruiser at quarterback. That's what it sounds like.
You know, I'm very tempted to not go with the quarterback and go with the safety at,
I just have
at
no
quarterback
one.
Safety.
Why? Because you think he can throw the ball well enough?
Yeah, I mean, if you are in the NFL, you had to have been able to throw a football at some point in your life.
Yeah, but not like at an elite level. Like, not everyone can be like, not every football player can play like quarterback, you know? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I get it, but yeah.
I am going to go with the quarterback, but if I wanted to have some fun, my pick there would have been the five-tool man himself.
Okay. Well, who is he?
Jabril Peppers, who played pretty much every single position in college, who I was considering going with there, but he'll be my kind of honorable mention pick. But first, my quarterback, I am going to go with Patrick Mahomes just because of the pure athleticism that he has. Obviously, we saw that, you know, in the Super Bowl, I think was very telling to show his kind of athleticism with his ability to kind of just be able to move. The man threw a ball like 50 yards completely parallel to the ground, which was just absolutely insane. So I trust him to kind of roam out there as a free safety backup, you know, any of my guys he needs. You know, he's got that kind of athletic build to him. You know, he's got a little bit more muscle than Lamar does, so I trust him to make a tackle if I need to. Just let him go for the legs, just a complete leg sweeper right there. But obviously, running back, linebacker, you got to go with a guy who's got some sort of bulk to him to be a linebacker, like you went with Derrick Henry, and obviously somebody we know that's going to be able to have the ability to make that tackle at linebacker, but also be able to move at running back. So, you know, as much as I'd love to go just a normal linebacker here and get, you know, another actual defensive player, I have Aaron Donald and J.J. Watt to do that, as well as Xavier Howard if I need.
Yeah.
So that is why I'm, of course, going to go with my boy Saquon Barkley.
To play linebacker too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, with Saquon, obviously, you know, he's not the biggest guy in terms of height, but he is as pure as athletic as it comes.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, he's infamous for his legs, and obviously, you know, linebackers necessarily aren't the quickest guys. They're not, you know, the best guys in terms of being able to, you know, cover a guy. You know, there's not too many good coverage linebackers in the league. But, you know, I can trust Saquon to run through somebody if he needs to. You know, I think, you know, he's got, you know, obviously that lower body strength that's going to be strong enough for him to kind of lock down. You know, after Derrick Henry, I think he's the next closest guy who could play the linebacker position at running back. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of great running backs. I was considering putting Christian McCaffrey here as well.
I thought maybe you go Devin White.
I know, you know, Devin White was somebody to consider here for me, but I just wanted, you know, another offensive weapon. And, you know, it would, you can't, you know, if you're going to go running back, you can't go somebody like Alvin Kamara, because he's obviously just going to get leveled by Derrick Henry if he's playing linebacker.
Maybe even Nick Chubb, too, is kind of intriguing.
Nick Chubb would have been an interesting one.
Beefy.
Dalvin Cook's a beefy boy you could have taken here. A guy I was considering here, not a super talented running back, but a talented body, A.J. Dillon for the Packers. He's another guy with ridiculous legs, you know. But I just thought, you know, Saquon has the ability to, you know, get across the field to make a tackle if needed to, because he just has that pure athleticism, agility, the ability just to kind of move laterally on the field, which I think is important for linebackers. And I just, you know, wanted to have a true offensive weapon rather than having a linebacker playing running back.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah, you're right. You know, linebackers need to have good legs. Saquon's got some of the best legs, so that does make sense. And that means that I have one more pick here to run out my team. That is offensive lineman / D tackle. It's pretty hard to get a close second to Aaron Donald, as he's a freak of nature. He's the best DT in the league. You're right. I'm sure he could play O-line pretty well too. He has got a low center of gravity. He can get up under those shoulder pads. Really be a good offensive lineman. But I'm going to go with Terron Armstead, left tackle in New Orleans, who is actually the fastest left tackle in the league, and actually the fastest tackle at the combine that the combine's ever seen, you know, since the combine was a recorded event. And he runs a 4.71 as a left tackle, which is actually kind of ridiculous. He's very athletic. You know, I trust him to be my offensive lineman, and with that speed and that size and that power, I'm sure he could, you know, bull rush the hell out of you as well, and be a good offensive tackle. So it's no Aaron Donald, but I think it's a good second there. So that runs out my team. So I have, you know, quarterback, safety, Lamar Jackson, running back, linebacker, Derrick Henry, offensive lineman, defensive tackle, Terron Armstead, tight end, D-end, Myles Garrett. And my three wide receivers / DBs are Stephon Diggs, Jalen Ramsey, and Devontae Adams. And I'm pretty happy with that team.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like it's impossible for us to pick a winner just because we kind of just went based off what the other guy took. It's not like our traditional where we can obviously compare based on what's given to us in our other series. I have quarterback, safety, Patrick Mahomes, running back, linebacker, Saquon Barkley, offensive lineman, defensive tackle, Aaron Donald, tight end, defensive end, J.J. Watt. My wide receiver, defensive back trio is D.K. Metcalf, Xavier Howard, and DeAndre Hopkins. So it's really hard to kind of compare at this point. But really just a kind of cool twist we kind of came up with. Would definitely be cool if they kind of like created this as like kind of like an off-season league almost.
Yeah.
To kind of just keep guys in shape and let them keep going. Obviously, probably not the best idea because the guys obviously would get hurt playing both sides of the football. But obviously just a cool kind of idea that we came up with here, obviously in theme of the Olympics, with all those tweets coming out of who would exactly be on Team USA if they did an actual Olympics team. But with that being said, we are going to go into our ad break here at our halfway point and listen to our sponsors, Anchor here, and we'll be right back after the quick break where we'll have some more news on the start of NFL training camp. Our usual question of week and weekly hot take.
Xavier Howard's got some intriguing news as well.
Xavier Howard, yeah, we We'll see what's going on with him, and then we'll take a little bit of a dive into what's going on in the world of COVID in the NFL. But we'll be right back after this break. And welcome back from that quick little break. Thank you once again to our sponsors, Anchor, for helping us to continue to grow our audience and just reach more people across the country, across the world. So just thank you to them once again. But with that being said, getting right into things right here, like Nick mentioned, we do have some Xavier Howard news, which we plan on talking about anyways. The news came out. Xavier Howard requested a trade from the Miami Dolphins after having a breakout year last year with them, which was really surprising to a lot of people, especially just because of the year he just had in their defense. Obviously, massive part of their defense last year. It led the league in interceptions. Their defense obviously was top 10 last year, obviously under a great coach in terms of defense with Brian Flores coming to Miami from New England. But in the last couple minutes, we have gotten reports from Ian Rappaport, the rap sheet, that the trade market for Xavier Howard is starting to heat up, and there has already been multiple teams who have called about Xavier Howard and have, including two playoff teams. I've seen, you know, a couple rumors. I actually saw like a TikTok the other day of what are the best fits for Xavier Howard, and I'm blanking on the first team that they said, but it literally made zero sense as to why he would go to that team. But obviously, it's going to be a competitive market for one of the best DBs in the league.
Yeah, so this is kind of a surprising thing to hear yesterday. Xavier Howard, you know, he led the NFL in interceptions in 2020 with 10, and as well as 2018 with 7. So he's one of the game's, you know, best ball-hawking cornerbacks, absolutely dominant man coverage cornerback. But yeah, he came out yesterday and officially requested a trade from the Dolphins, saying, "I don't feel valued or respected by the Dolphins," and he thinks that he is outplaying his current contract. And he's currently under contract through 2024 for $49 million. So whatever team is going to land him or trade for him is going to have to inherit that contract. And obviously a new contract or extension will be needed for that as well, as that will be coming up soon. But yeah, he's only 28 and he's in the prime of his career. And like I said, he's the best, probably the not the best, but one of the best, you know, ball hawking and dominant man coverage quarterbacks in the league. And yeah, this is going to be a really interesting storyline because there are teams, this is a very hot trade market. Teams that I think that would be good fits and should be pursuing him would be the Saints, Cardinals, Cowboys, and Chiefs. I think that the Cowboys are just going to put the full court press on him. I think they really want to acquire him as they've been trying to revamp that defense, which they have. They, you know, they drafted Micah Parsons, and they have a pretty, you know, pretty impressive, you know, linebacking group right now. But DBs has kind of been an issue. You know, Trayvon Diggs, who was a rookie last year. I don't think he's enough. I think that if they were to solidify a guy like Xavier Howard on that, in that secondary, it'd be a very, very big signing for them. You know, as well as the Chiefs. Chiefs don't really have a cornerback one. You know, their defensive backs are led by safety Tyrann Mathieu, but that defense could really benefit from a lockdown cornerback. And the Cardinals as well. You know, losing Patrick Peterson is kind of a big loss. And the Saints, you know, he'd pair with Marshawn Lattimore. They go, they play on each side, which would sounds pretty dangerous to me. It sounds pretty lethal. But yeah, this is going to be intriguing. One thing I did see, which is going to be a win-win for both sides, if the Cardinals were to trade Chandler Jones and a fifth-round pick to the Dolphins for Xavier Howard, it sounds like a win-win for each side. Both guys, you know, wanting to be out of their current team, so might as well just swap them. That kind of makes sense to me, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where Howard goes because he's a very fun cornerback to watch in this league.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of like almost weird to the point where it's like, why I still don't understand exactly why he wants to leave this defense. Obviously, he's very successful in it last year, and it's just kind of weird for me to see this trade come. The request to come, obviously, it has to do with the fact that he is not even the highest paid DB on his team with Byron Jones being on that roster. But I think it's weird just to request a trade just because of how much shape that defense was taking and how much promise is kind of ahead for this Dolphins roster, even though obviously they still have to get past the Bills. They still have to solidify their offense, see if Tua is actually going to be the guy for them at quarterback. So it's definitely an interesting situation. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of teams that are checking in about him. I really like your point about the Chiefs. I said it time and time again. They really need another star, a true star on that defense besides Tyrann Mathieu and Chris Jones. And I think, you know, he would be a perfect fit for them. Like you mentioned, they don't have a true CB1 there, and so he'd be great for them. And I really think that would be a perfect fit for the Chiefs, but obviously it's going to see how it's going to turn out. I think the Dolphins are complete and utter morons if they don't get a first-round pick for Xavien Howard in this trade. But like Ian Rappaport said, he was at training camp today. He practiced fully. He had utmost professionalism, but definitely just kind of an interesting situation how this all kind of just played out with the situation of requesting a trade coming off a career year for Xavien Howard.
Yeah, you know, it's got to be something with the front office. You know, two sides not really coming to an agreement of, you know, the evaluation of a player. Obviously, Xavien Howard has the stats and he has the tape to back up his value. We all saw him just get 10 interceptions last year and was, you know, a very fun player to watch. And we all know how good of a cornerback he is. And the Dolphins, who, like you said, are paying Byron Jones more money than he is, I'm sure that there's been conversations, you know, between Dolphins and Xavien Howard down the road in the future, which is why we're led here to this dispute. And what it sounds like is that they don't really, you know, they don't really evaluate him the same way that he evaluates himself, which is, you know, it's common in the NFL. Guys, you know, think that they're the best usually if they're that good. And I'm gonna have to take the side with Xavien Howard. I think that the Dolphins should try to do whatever they need to do to retain this guy. This is the centerpiece of a defense, and one of the reasons that they were a top 10 defense last year. So I know it's hard with the business side of football and the front office and all that, and the Dolphins, you know, have money elsewhere, but it's unfortunate that this is unraveling the way it is. I just hope that he, you know, finds a team that can give him, you know, the money he thinks he deserves and what he does deserve, and continues to, you know, ball out, continues to be a quarterback that, you know, just gets interceptions like crazy, which, you know, helps any defense. But if you were to bring in a guy that you would brings in an average of, you know, 6, 7, 8 picks a year, that's just gonna boost you in crazy ways. So I'm really hoping that this, you know, ends up well for him. And like I said, I think that the Cowboys, Cardinals, Chiefs, Saints are teams that should be and probably are in trade talks with the Dolphins regarding Xavien Jones or Howard, sorry.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, like Rapsheet said, there are two playoff teams that are in conversation for this, and the Chiefs and Saints could very much be those two playoff teams that are in conversation for Xavien Howard. So we'll see how things kind of unfold with that. But with that being said, this leads us into the return of our Question of the Week segment, and my question of the week, I'm going to go first this week just because my question kind of has to do with this Xavien Howard situation. My question is to you, you know, we can say you're less needed in this situation if you want. But if you're a GM in the NFL, really in any sport, this is something that crossed my mind the other day. And one of your best players comes up to your office, knocks on the door and says, hey, can we talk? Comes in and says, I want to trade.
Yeah.
Do you have the guts to say not going to happen?
You know, it's interesting because this, you know, this happens more times than you think in the NFL. I'm sure a good example of this is, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars, a star-studded defense a few years ago, which really saw players really demanding their exit there. But anyways, I think that if I'm less needed, like you said, and I know Aaron Donald wouldn't do this. You know, he wants to be in LA. But if Jalen Ramsey, you know, kind of a guy, DBs tend to be at the most, you know, hot headed and you know, set in their ways and thinking that they're, you know, the next thing, the next best thing. If Jalen Ramsey were to come into the office and say he's demanding a trade, before the new contract, I'll say, because he has his money now. You know, I try to work my I try to do my best to work it through, you know, provide, you know, maybe rework a contract, you know, provide some more incentives or concessions like we saw with Aaron Rodgers' deal, because you both have to understand as a player and a GM that you are the focal point or one of the focal points of a franchise, which is, you know, a very high honor. And that you have to just take it with a chip on your shoulder and just understand that the team is so much different without you. And if you are, you know, a contender like the Dolphins, I would call the Dolphins a contender after last year. Not like a playoff contender, not like a Super Bowl contender, but, you know, a playoff contender. And you're on the frisk of making the playoffs and stuff. You need all the pieces that got you there still. So I think that you should come to terms and look at the bigger picture, and realize that together you can come together for your common goal and to win games and to get to a Super Bowl. So it's interesting because money is obviously what drives the league. These guys have families; they want to get paid, all that. But at the end of the day, it's a business, and you want to make sure guys are happy. And if it's not with you, that's when it becomes difficult. But it's really tough.
Yeah, it's just kind of an interesting situation, you know, just with the NHL being in the heat of the offseason, MLB trade deadline coming up with training camp starting for the NFL. It just made me think, you know, what if a player came up to you and was like, I want to be traded, especially, you know, if you're sitting on a team where you're not in the best situation in terms of your franchise right now, when it's, you know, a franchise guy who comes up and says, I just don't want to be here. Obviously want to be traded. And, you know, it's obviously, you know, not ideal. It helps the franchise in probably the long term. You know, the prime example right now in the NHL is the Jack Eichel situation in Buffalo, one of the top players in the NHL right now. A lot of trade talks surrounding him leading up to the draft. And I actually just got a notification a couple seconds ago that trade talks are now dead quiet for him because they got a lot in return for one of their other players they dealt. And my guess is, you know, they want a lot for obviously a top talent in Jack Eichel. I've been following this situation very closely because my New York Rangers are very much invested in this Jack Eichel situation. But I've seen reports that the Sabres are asking for players that the Rangers, amongst other teams, don't want to give up. So it's kind of just an interesting situation. Obviously, you know, they want to get what they deserve, but it's also, you know, do they want to give up those players to get a player, especially in the situation where you don't necessarily know the risk. With Xavier Howard, I don't know his exact stats in his career off the top of my head, but I know last year was definitely his best year. That's why Byron Jones has a higher contract than him in Miami. So, you know, it's another situation of, do we know Xavier Howard's going to have another insane year next year, or is it going to be a situation like we've seen with some of these guys, these DBs in particular, who are just starting to go downhill, like Marcus Lattimore in New Orleans, who's progressively gotten worse in terms of, you know, just overall PFF grades. Each year it's just constantly going down. So obviously trades are a big risk, but I feel like it's always a tough decision when one of your top players comes in, especially off a career year, saying, I want to trade.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't necessarily call him like a one-year wonder in any means. We all know last year he did have those 10 interceptions. You know, whenever you get double digits as a cornerback, interceptions-wise, it's really impressive. You know, but he also led the league in picks in 2018 as well. So he's shown he can do it in a couple of different years here. So, which is a lot more of a resume than other cornerbacks, you know, could say. Usually it's like you lead the league in picks 1 year and then you kind of die down and kind of go back to reality. But this is a guy that just is proven to get interceptions. And you're right. Like if a player comes to you and wants a trade, it's not ideal for you by any means, as they are a stablement of your defense or offense or whatever, whatever player it is. But if it really is a stalemate, and you just gotta come to terms with the fact that you need to turn your head to look to trade this player and, you know, acquire whatever kind of capital you can get for him, draft picks wise. Usually, if it's a star player like this, you can assume to acquire some pretty high draft picks in exchange. But with the Dolphins, this is a team that's been rebuilding for the last, you know, couple of years. So they're finally at where they want to be. I think they're coming out of the rebuild and looking to be a contender. So I think the last thing they want to do would be to just stockpile more picks and continue to like kind of look to rebuild in the next few years, because I think their window is closer than they think. It might even be the window right now, but the Dolphins kind of need to win now and stop kind of putting off draft picks to later years and stockpiling this first round picks to later years, because it's, you got to win now. Like, you can put picks off forever and you can be mediocre forever if you keep putting picks off, but they really need to work something out. I don't know if they will win this situation with Xavier Howard, but you can't rebuild forever. Dolphins need to win now, which is what they've been aiming to do in the last few years with all these first round picks. So I don't think this is gonna resolve with him being a Dolphin. You know, maybe it does. Stranger things have happened, but yeah, it's gonna be weird to see where he goes. But the Dolphins looks like they're gonna need to trade him away and get capital in exchange, which is not something they want to do, I would assume. But it's all they can do, I guess.
Yeah, and it's just an interesting situation. And going back to my comment earlier about the team that I couldn't remember, it was the Saints, and they talked about how, you know, oh, maybe the Saints could trade Kamara or Cam Jordan, and I just
laughed. For Howard?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw that on TikTok today. Laughed. Or yeah. It's like, you're not trading Kamara for...
It was a very stupid trade prediction. But yeah, over to you for your question of the week for me.
Okay, so mine has to do with your team. I'm not sure if I've asked you a question for question of the week with the Giants before, but I will. And this has to do with your running back, you know, coming back from injury. You know, one of the premier running backs, the faces of the league, running back wise, but did suffer that ACL injury last year in a devastating fashion. You know, early in the year, which was terrible. But Saquon Barkley, you know, in his rookie year, he rushed for 1,300 yards. 11 touchdowns, and he also caught, you know, 4 touchdowns in the air and had 700 yards in the air as well. And then he came back the next year, had over 1,000 yards on the ground again, and had about 500 yards receiving. It really started to prove that he was going to be a top running back in this league. And last year, he did suffer that brutal ACL injury. And he's going to be back this year, thank God. This is an exciting player to watch. I'm excited to see him back. But my question to you is, what should we really expect from him coming off this ACL injury, like stats-wise this year? Do you think he goes over 1,000 again? Or more realistically, do you think he maybe finishes a little under that, kind of eases back into full speed here? What can we really expect from Saquon Barkley this year?
Yeah, I mean, for one, I am a little concerned right now, just because he seems a little, you know, I don't know if it's him kind of just trying to put up smoke and mirrors, but he doesn't seem very confident about playing week one. And, you know, he was put on the PUP list for the start of training camp. So it's not exactly ideal, the situation. I mean, obviously I hope he's going to come back, you know, the infamous line of Joe Judge when Saquon towards ACL saying it's going to be one hell of a story. You know, I think this could be a very big year for Saquon if he is fully healthy, just because in terms of the talent that they now have in front of him, this is going to be, you know, the first time since the Odell trade that they're going to have, you know, a true wide receiver one on the offense. This is going to be, you know, hopefully the first time that Saquon gets to play in a fully healthy offense as well. You know, just like Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, when, you know, they've been playing together, you know, Daniel Jones only has that, like I've said, you know, many of times, he's only played one game where he's at a fully healthy offense surrounding him, and that was the game when Saquon tore ACL in Chicago. So I think, you know, it's going to be big for, you know, obviously the Giants to have, you know, Kenny Galladay, Kadarius Toney, Darius Slayton, as well as Sterling Shepard, at the exposure of Daniel Jones, as well as how much effort we've seen Daniel Jones putting in the gym, on the field, off the field this offseason, just getting in the shape, you know, ramping up to finally, you know, hopefully have the season that we're all waiting for him to prove himself, for that, you know, this won't be another year of going into the draft where the Giants take another quarterback. I think, you know, for me, I think if Saquon's fully healthy with the 17 games, if he's playing all 17 weeks, I think this could be the first year that we see Saquon potentially get close to that 1,000 rushing yard, 1,000 receiving yard season. I think, you know, if for him, it's going to be about how healthy he is. He's going to be very careful with his body. I know he's going to not want to rush himself back. If he's ready, you know, even if he misses week one, I could still see him very easily rushing for, you know, 1,000 yards. I could see him getting even close to, you know, in 16 weeks, I could see him even getting close to 1,500 rushing yards, which, you know, is in 16 weeks, that's less than 100 rushing yards per game. Last year, he had a very, very bad start before his injury. I think he only had like 25 rushing yards in week one or something.
Yeah, he had 34 in the season on 19 attempts. So.
Yeah, it was a very tough start for him. I think it's really going to be a couple things, but I think if Saquon's fully healthy, I think we see just another season of Saquon proving that he's one of the best running backs in the league. And just I think this is going to be really big for Saquon because a lot of people a lot of Giants fans, a lot of analysts are calling the Saquon Barkley pick the worst pick in recent terms, a first-round pick for Giants.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that you want to root for. He does everything the right way. Off the field, he's a role model to a lot of people, a lot of young kids. And you're right, I remember when he got injured last year, Joe Judge said this is going to be one hell of a comeback story, which it looks like it's going to be. I think this is a guy that's capable of coming back and being a top running back again, but it might be you might have to ease into it a little bit, which is fine. Maybe the first week or two he takes off just to be fully comfortable to come back. But this is, again, the guy you root for. This is a guy that is a once-in-a-generation talent at running back. We all know at Penn State he was insane. He would return kickoffs for touchdowns and all that. He would do it all. And even in his first 2 years in the NFL, when he was playing running back for the Giants, he was a phenom as well. So the injury is the only thing that kind of set him back in his career so far. He's going to be healthy now. So, you know, hopefully he just continues to take off and be that, you know, top 3-2 running back that we expect him to be. So it's going to be something to watch. He's a comeback player of the year candidate, as well as a lot of other players. So that's going to be a tight race there for that award. But, yeah, I think that he can, you know, come back and you know, put over 1,000 yards again in the 17-game season. But, yeah, we're going to have to wait and see there. I know you're rooting for him, and I'm rooting for him as well. It's a guy you really pull for and appreciate.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, I'm hoping for the best with him. But before we get into our next topic, we do have a little bit of kind of breaking news in terms of team reports via Jane Slater.
Ooh, so little Austin bomb on the podcast via Jane Slater?
Via Jane Slater, via Rap Sheet retweet. Tweet says, keep an eye on quarterback Dak Prescott not competing in team drills today. Garrett Gilbert is with the first team. Dak was consulting with the trainer before he trotted off to the locker room today. Not necessarily surprising because Dak is coming back from that gruesome ankle dislocation injury that he suffered against my Giants this past season. Not really surprised. You know, I think this is his first time really back on the football field. Maybe he just felt something was a little weird, but little news breaker there, which obviously isn't ideal for Cowboys fans and really not something you want to see, but, you know, we are early on in training camp, so it's a good thing that obviously they're addressing this early on if it's really a drastic need, injury for Dak here.
Yeah, and you have time. Yeah, training camp's a time, you especially for Dak, when you ease back into things. This is his first football action since that injury on the field with the Cowboys, so he's back with his team finally, so it is going to take some time for him to ease into it, I would assume. There's three preseason games this season. I would not expect him to play in any of them. So he does have time to ease back into football speed. And if there is any kind of – they're going to be monitoring him closely. If he has any kind of minor pain whatsoever, they're going to make sure that he's okay and not going to put him in any situations that are uncomfortable for him. Just to make sure their franchise, you know, the guy they're paying $40 million a year now, is ready to go for week one. So they are not going to be taking any risk with Dak, as they should. The training camp's going to be kind of a, you know – ease back into a period, get back to you know the way things were, and just kind of feel into it again, you know, settle in again, And be the quarterback that we all expect him to be and what he has been, which is, you know, a very impressive one. So, yeah, that is something to watch definitely for training camp over there in Oxnard. I don't know anyone that's going. I've been there before for training camp. It's a nice little place. We talked about it earlier, a little weird location, but, you know, it is close to us in California. So we love NFL here in California. So really hoping the best for Dak. And, yeah, going to be monitoring that for sure.
Yeah, but getting back on schedule here, we're not going to get too deep into this topic just so that we don't have, per se, you know, any controversy. I don't want to have my own little Pat McAfee show-esque moment on here where I stand up and just start screaming into the mic.
We got to stand up more. We got to stand up and just raise these mics and just be like, yo.
Throwing air punches. Yeah. But our next topic of conversation is the new COVID requirements in terms of all players must be vaccinated in the NFL. Failure to do so will result in a fine as well as a potential forfeit for the team. So a lot of news with this. A lot of players who are still unvaccinated. I saw something of like a full team of guys who haven't been vaccinated. Josh Allen, the quarterback for the Bills. Nick and I thought Jalen Ramsey was vaccinated, but it seems like he's not vaccinated up to this point. DeAndre Hopkins, very outspoken about it. Cole Beasley, very, 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 very outspoken about it. I will refrain from making my comments on Cole Beasley.
Yeah,
well, but he is very much getting way too political with this situation, which really just is what starts to ruin sports is when politics get involved. It just really bothers me. It's a situation that's happened with my Rangers in hockey, Tony D'Angelo, who just got very outspoken politically and just very outspoken in the locker room, resulted in him never playing a game again for the Rangers, got bought out. He just signed a contract with the Carolina Hurricane. I just saw a tweet on Twitter that said, images preceding unfortunate events. It was Carolina Hurricanes tweeting out how they're going to help in the fight against racism, stuff like that, and then they sign somebody problematic like Tony D'Angelo. But obviously, you know, not, you know, a situation that I feel like is getting to the point that it is, that it just getting way too out of hand. I mean, the NFL has more than every right to require players to get vaccinated. They want to have it safe. You know, Cole Beasley, one of the part of his long statement he just put out was like, we had a very successful, very safe 2020 season. Are we just going to forget the fact that the Titans had a massive freaking outbreak of COVID, which, you know, resulted in games being suspended, you know, games having to be played on every single day in a week for the first time in NFL history.
Yeah.
So it's just getting out of hand. Ryan Tannehill came out today. He got his first vaccination. He said he wasn't going to get the vaccination. He only got it because they're, speaking of the NFL, are requiring it. But I think, you know, we're just getting to a point where obviously, you know, people do have, you know, the right to get vaccinated or not. But, you know, when they're coming out and saying, oh, I spoke to people who said, you know, we hope it's the best, you know, or I've read this or I've seen this. It's really all based on what person you're getting it from. They're not going to be the most reliable sources. You can, you know, I could walk down the street right now and just find somebody on the street and say, hey, are you vaccinated? And if they say no, I could say why. He could be like, oh, because I read somewhere it says I shouldn't. And I could be like, oh, where'd you read that from? They could be like this source that nobody ever reads. So yeah, it's just kind of getting out of hand. I think it's just really ridiculous up to this point.
Yeah, I mean, the whole world is going through this right now. It's become, you know, just an argument. It's become a two-sided event, you know, with the vaccine, if you're getting it or not. You know, people are set in their ways, and it's really hard for you to change people's ways when they're set like this. And, you know, that segueing into the NFL, the season starting, you know, last year, I wouldn't call it a successful season. We did get all the games done, but we were postponing stuff like crazy, and guys were getting pissed off that, you know, the other team, so their team was fine. The team they were playing was having COVID issues, so they had to change their schedule because of them. Yada, 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 but it was a mess. But we did get the games done. But this year, the NFL sent a memo out informing that a game cannot be rescheduled this year. This is an 18-week season, a pretty lengthy season, longer than it's ever been before. And there's no intention of having a 19th week or anything, any rescheduling to have, you know, room for these games or to reschedule for COVID. It's just going to be a flat-out forfeit the game. If you have a COVID outbreak, you're going to forfeit and take a loss to your record for playoff seeding, and that's just the end of the line there. Which, you know, I don't really mind this. I think there is loopholes in this. You know, I think it is an incentive for people to get vaccinated. But this is not going to change players like Cole Beasley's mind at all. And it's interesting because you can still, like, carry the virus if you're vaccinated and you know, transmit it to other people. So there's still going to be people that test positive for COVID. And it's just going to – I really don't want to see it go downhill like this. But there are going to be COVID outbreaks this season, and that leads into my hot take for later on. But there is going to be, you know, games that are canceled. I don't think there's a world where we don't see one game, at least one game, canceled. It's going to happen for sure. I don't know when, but it's really messy right now with this, the way they're doing this. And I know they're doing their best, and, you know, it's great. But just the fact that the vaccines, you know, they do help. You know, they do. You know, they do prevent you from, you know, getting sicker than you would without it, but you can still carry the virus and transmit it. So it's going to be interesting to see what goes on there. But, yeah, NFL is really cracking down this season on the COVID rules.
Yeah, and I will let you get into your hot take right now because we did pass the hour mark and, you know, our rule. We had one more planned segment, but that's going to take quite some time. We wanted to look at Madden ratings that have been released so far, but we'll just save that for next week.
Yeah, when they're all out.
When they're all fully out. Obviously, we didn't do player by number this week either. That's just another one that's, you know, a long time consumer, and we wanted to be able to get in all the news in terms of what's going on in training camps and just everything around the NFL. My hot take also is COVID-related, so I'll let you continue with your statement of what you're just going on and bring us your weekly hot take for this week.
Okay, yeah. So I don't know if you're going to have like a similar or even the same hot take as me if it's COVID related, but my hot take is one that I'm not very, you know, proud to say this. I don't want it. For the first time, it's one that I don't want to see it happen. But I think that there will be at least six games that are going to be canceled and forfeited due to COVID this season, which is, you know, a pretty high number. That's six games. That's 12 teams taken, you know, or just 12 teams impacted by this, and it's going to impact their records. But I can just see it now that there's going to be players that test positive, even if they're vaccinated, and it's just going to and these players get tested every day no matter what. So I think it's just going to be one of those situations where we're going to see teams kind of be hit hard, some harder than others. And since we can't reschedule, this means, you know, we're going to forfeit these games now. So I think that six might be even generous too. I can see it going maybe a little higher than that, but I really hope this isn't true. But I just, the state of the world right now and the state of, you know, people's mindset on vaccines and COVID and stuff like that, I can easily see that there would be, you know, around six games canceled due to COVID. And I hope there's not. I hope you have a full season. It's what we all deserve as, you know, fans, NFL fans. But at the end of the day, we're still going through a pandemic, whether, you know, you like it, not whether you like it or not, but whether you think it's over or not, we're still going through this. We're in the back end, hopefully. But, you know, there's these new variants coming out, which is pretty scary. And we're really trying to get a grasp on this while we're trying to operate an NFL season. So those going hand in hand together, working simultaneously, I can see there be some problems that would arise.
Yeah, and obviously it would suck a lot if we have to cancel games because, you know, of positive tests and these guys refusing to get vaccinated. And really just, you know, it'd suck for the teams, the players, fans, the NFL as a whole. So obviously it would definitely not be ideal. Mine is not related in terms of games getting canceled. Mine does have to do with one of our holdouts of getting vaccinated, which I'm not happy to see as he is one of my favorite quarterbacks in the league. Josh Allen is one of the holdouts right now. So with that being said, with how strongly his teammate Cole Beasley feels about it, it's a little bit of a stretch, but right now at this moment in time, I believe our hero, the almighty Mitchell Trubisky, will start week one for the Buffalo Bills.
Really? You think that Josh Allen's going to like get COVID in training camp or something?
Well, he's not vaccinated yet, and if he feels as strongly about it as his buddy Cole Beasley does, then he's not going to be playing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's obviously not an ideal situation. Obviously, it's not ideal for my prediction of saying Josh Allen's going to be the number one fantasy quarterback this year.
Yeah, it's not.
So I just went off a little bit of a limb. I saw a funny TikTok that the Bills posted of, like, getting excited of Mitchell Trubisky showing up for training camp. That, you know, they use, like, one of those, like, kind of like sounds that sounds like it's from like a fairy tale or something.
I saw that, yeah. And it was like, here comes the boy.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah. I was like, you're very excited for your backup quarterback. So, I mean, if, you know, if Josh Allen is as serious about not getting the vaccine as much as Cole Beasley is, then I can very much see our boy Mitchell Trubisky starting week one for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I mean, damn, that, and Bears fans, I'll tell you, Bears fans would love to see that. I know that they didn't like him when he was on their team, but I can tell you right now, Bears fans are the biggest Mitch Trubisky supporters now that he's off the team, that they don't really have that weight tied to them anymore. They want to see him. I know some of them don't want to see him do too well, but I know guys that are rooting for him, but that are Bears fans. But yeah, that'd be kind of interesting to see Mitch starting there. But I hope Josh Allen does start. He's, you know, he's a very talented QB. He could be a top fantasy QB. But yeah, COVID, who knows with COVID, man. This stuff is affecting everything and doing the weirdest things. So we don't know.
Yeah. And with that being said, figure it out. And so
figure it out.
Just figure it out. We want to see football. Come on now. Settle down.
Yep.
So we are past the hour mark. We are going to wrap things up here. We do have, you know, stuff to look forward to next week. Nick and I will be attending Rams training camp next Tuesday, so we will be talking about that when we come back.
Yeah.
Whether or not we'll be seeing Jalen Ramsey at training camp is now up in the air.
We will.
Because I don't know if he'll be there or not. Obviously, we'll see the likes of Aaron Donald. We'll get to see Matthew Stafford. Just very cool to be able to see that. That'll be my first time going to any form of NFL training camp, all the way out at UC Irvine. You know, it'd be nice if they just stinking did it right here in our backyards.
Yeah, so do I. I wish they did it here.
It'd be so much easier, you know. But with that being said, you know, we'll have some Madden stuff to talk about. Definitely more training camp news to talk about next week. But thank you guys for tuning in once again. Be sure to check us out on all of our platforms we're streaming on. We'd appreciate it if you could follow us on our Instagram and our Twitter. It's at UDFAPod on both of them. We definitely need to get things going on that, get you guys more engaged with us as an audience. But we appreciate you guys tuning in. Thank you once again, and we'll pass things off to Spencer to take us on out of here.
Thank you, guys. Football's back, baby. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Undrafted Free Agents Podcast. Be sure to follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at UDFAPod. That's at UDFAPod to stay up to date with the podcast. Until next time, just remember, you don't always need to be drafted to be successful.